Greetings, my peeps. Welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, it is time, guys. The NBA season is here, guys. So I'll do my season preview, the Eastern Conference. I'll cover that first. We'll go through all the teams, how they finish, who's in the playoffs. We'll run all that down. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, it's my favorite time of year. The NBA season is here. Come Tuesday, October 22nd, you'll have the world champions taking on my New York Knicks, and that gets the season underway. So excited about it. It's going to be a fun season, hopefully, for my Knicks. You saw what the Liberty did, so handle your business in New York. I'm just saying. So with that said, without any further delay, let's get right into it. Guys, I'm going to start with the Eastern Conference, so let's get into it. We will start in the Atlantic Division in the East. So here's how we'll do it, guys. I'll go alphabetically within the division, and then I'll give you how I think they'll finish. So we'll do it that way. All right, guys. So let's talk about the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics, you know, they're the world champions, guys. They just winning. They're trying to at least sell the team. So we'll see how that goes in that regard. But as of now, it looks like the starting lineup for them: Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, of course, Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Xavier Tillman, because Kristaps Porzingis, he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. They're looking at possibly around Christmas, maybe at the turn of the new year, 2025. So they're going to treat him with kid gloves, guys. They're not going to rush him back. So, you know, they're going to take their time with it. And then, of course, on your bench, you got guys like Peyton Pritchard, Al Horford, who's, of course, the old man on campus, Luke Kornet, Sam Hauser, and those guys there. A few questions for the Boston Celtics. Is a repeat possible? Haven't seen a repeat in some time now, guys. So does Boston have what it takes to repeat? I don't know. We'll see. You know, a lot of teams have loaded up, especially in their division and within the Eastern Conference as a whole. So I don't see it being the cakewalk it was last year. I think they'll have a tough way to go. So a repeat, that's going to be a tall task, guys. When does Porzingis returns? I kind of alluded to that. They're looking at possibly Christmas return. If not, probably looking at probably January of 2025. But again, they're not going to rush things. They're going to really take their time, because it's the playoffs, in all honesty, where they'll need them. So, and then does Jason Tatum go on a mission after his uneven play in the Olympics? I think he's a player who will have a chip on his shoulder after what he had to endure in the Olympics, whether it be his play itself or Steve Kerr just not playing him in some of the games. So I think he'll have a big time chip on his shoulder. So he's paid now, so he doesn't have that to worry about, but I think he'll be on a mission, guys. I think he will definitely be on a mission in that regard. Yeah, I think you'll see a fired up Jason Tatum this season. So that's the Boston story, guys. The Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets. Talk about team in kind of change mode here. Remember, a few seasons back, you had the likes of Kevin Durant there. You had Kyrie Irving. You had James Harden all on the same team. That has been blown up now. So in the season and a half, you had Mikal Bridges. That's no longer the case now. So what's there left? We'll see. But I think this is what the starting lineup could look like. Cam Thomas there, promising guard there. He can score in buckets, guys. He's that type of player. Nick Claxton, your center there, your young center, who they just read up for big money. So he'll be there. Bojan Bogdanovic, who came over in the Nick trade for Mikal Bridges. I think he should be a guy who's in the starting lineup for this team. This way you drum up interest, and then you're able to move him. I think that's the smarter move. Will they do that? We'll see. You know, they have the new coach over there for the Brooklyn Nets, Jordy Fernandez. So we'll see what happens there. Dennis Schroeder, I think he'll end up starting because Ben Simmons, I think they're going to treat him with kid gloves. Given his injury history, I think he'll be a guy coming off the bench where he could be a Swiss Army knife for that team. I think that's the way to go. And then Cam Johnson, promising forward there, who showed you glimpses, but he's had some injuries last season. So is this the year where he kind of blows up? I mean, there's really not much in his way now that Mikal Bridges is with the Knicks now. So there's that. And then on their bench, they have a variety of guys there. Ben Simmons is there. Dorian Finney-Smith. You have him. Dariq Whitehead. That's another player. Zaire Williams, a former lottery pick from the Memphis Grizzlies. You have him. Noah Clowney. Now, this is a guy who shined for them late down the stretch. He's a promising young big. He can play the power forward. He can slide over the center. I would keep an eye on that guy. Definitely, guys. He's somebody who can blossom and eventually be in that starting lineup. Killian Hayes, he's a former lottery pick as well. Bounced a little bit. Now he's with the Brooklyn Nets, so maybe he'll get a bite at the point guard position, maybe overtake it from Dennis Schroeder. We'll see. Keon Johnson's another name to look out for. And De'Ron Sharpe, who usually spells Nick Claxton. Those guys are on your bench. Question for the Nets is, can first-year coach Jordy Fernandez cultivate the young talent to make them competitive? That is an excellent question. And they're going to take their lumps in this division, that's for sure. You got powerhouse teams in there like Boston, the Knicks, and Philly. So they're going to take their lumps plenty of nights. So can this young talent somehow overachieve? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I think they're going to take a lot of licks in this division and much less in this conference. So we'll see. Then my New York Knicks, man. So the potential starters for them, Jalen Brunson. I think the door is wide open for him now. This pretty much being his team. So he's been given the keys to the franchise now. So we'll see how things go there. Of course, the big trade for Karl Anthony Towns, sending Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to Minnesota. So Karl Anthony Towns, guys, I said it when I did the finals preview for the WNBA, I coupled that with the Knicks trade of Cat. I think for him, he has to give you 20, 10, and a couple of blocks. I think if he gives you that, I think you'll take that and run with it. He has to give you that 20, 10 double-double each night to be effective for this team, especially with the likes of Mitchell Robinson going down yet again, this time with the ankle. So Karl Anthony Towns, I think, plays a pivotal role in what happens for the Knicks this season. Mikal Bridges, he's another one who's come over via trade. I know everybody's slamming him for changing the arc on his shot and all this sort of stuff and kind of panicking about preseason. And it's funny because I was on social media and one of the pages were talking about that. I was like, wake me when it's regular season and he's shooting like that. Then we could be concerned. The preseason, I'm not going to lose sleep over his shot being awkward or whatever it is, however he changed it. But if it happens in the regular season, then you'll hear me talking about it on here. Trust me. So OG Anunoby, I think, absolutely key for them. His health is a major concern, I think. And I was talking with a friend of the show, D, about this. And actually, he mentioned it to me that he should not be playing more than 30 to 20, maybe about 30 to 28 minutes a night. OG, he shouldn't be playing any more than that. You have to, because of his injury histories. You know, he's too important to the team to for you to overtax him. So I would definitely keep an eye on his minutes this season. And then Josh Hart, your do-it-all type player. I was, again, it's preseason, so I'm not going to go too crazy. He didn't shoot it much in preseason. I don't know if he's saving it for the regular season, but again, I'm not going to go too crazy. I did notice when I was watching a few of the preseason games, but I'm not going to go off the deep end about it. I'll just chalk it up to this preseason, and once the regular season, we'll see the real Josh Hart. So, and then on your bench, Deuce McBride, who's been balling. He had a fine preseason, guys. Cameron Payne, I love the addition of him. I really think he's one of those players where you dread playing against him, but if he's on your team, you're good. And Cam, and the thing I know about Cam, if something were to go down with Brunson, I think he could hold the fort as far as keeping the team, you know, keeping the ship afloat. I think he's that type of player, guys. Landry Shamet, I had high hopes for him, and then he injured his shoulder. So they're still investigating that to see the effects of that. He was looking good, guys. So if he can't go, I think the Knicks will probably have to go another route. They're talking about bringing back Marcus Morris. We'll see about that. Precious Achiuwa, a guy who I was high on, and then I just heard he's going to be down for a couple of weeks. So that means Jericho Sims, you got to step up, buddy. You got to step up now. You know, put your big boy pants on and let's do this, you know? So there's that. And then Mitchell Robinson, who I had mentioned previously, he's going to be out probably for the calendar year. He probably won't get back until 2025, I want to say. They're saying maybe kind of like with Porzingis, they're saying probably late 2024 Christmas time. I say 2025. I would look there first in that regard. So, but the questions for the Knicks: does the Knicks have what it takes to go all the way? I think so. I think so. I think they have enough here. They have depth here. They have the players here. And I think they have what it takes, guys. Again, I'm not going to go crazy about Mikal Bridges, not just yet. I'm not going to go nuts in that regard, but I think they have the components here to definitely push the Celtics, that's for sure. And then how will Mitchell Robinson fit in once he does return? Does Tom Thibodeau, does he go with the Twin Towers similar to what Karl Anthony Towns had when he was at Minnesota? Do they do that? And then you push probably Josh Hart back to the bench. There's that option. So Tom Thibodeau has options here for when Mitchell Robinson comes back. Do you just play him off the bench as Cat's backup and then let him work himself up where he can eventually get into that starting lineup? I think that's a route you probably would want to go first just to see how he responds and reacts once he gets back into the lineup. So, yeah, I think much like Porzingis, you got to treat Mitchell Robinson with kid gloves as well. So, good news, though, off the court, Patrick Ewing is back as a team ambassador. So, you love seeing that. I would love to see him have an opportunity to at least talk with Karl Anthony Towns, you know, center to center. So, he's not an assistant coach, so we don't have that. But at least he can get in his ear and, you know, pass along his wisdom to the young man. That would be great. And again, the thing I like about Karl Anthony Towns, he's not a diva. He's not going to be one of these guys got to be off to himself. He will blend in with the culture that's here. So, again, I'm very high on my Knicks, so we'll leave it at that. All right, so let's move on. The Philadelphia 76ers, I think they're potential starting lineup. Joel Embiid, of course, they're going to treat him with kid gloves. They're already talking about him playing, not playing in back-to-backs. So you have that. So that's what makes signing a guy like Andre Drummond all the more important, because you're going to need somebody to come in when Embiid is not in there. And Drummond, in his second stint with the Sixers, he's been a competent backup center, a guy you can plug in, and he can give you a 20-20 even off the drop of a hat. That's how good he is. So, yeah. So, Embiid, you know, they're going to be cautious with him. He did lose 20 to 30 pounds, he said. So, you know, that kind of eases up on his knees. So, we'll see what happens there. Paul George, he's already out indefinitely. He's already amassed injuries already. So you have that. So that will bear some watching. Tyrese Maxey, I think this is a year where you thought he may have to play like kind of third fiddle, but no. He's going to have to be second fiddle, or maybe first when Embiid is not in there. So I'm definitely high on Tyrese Maxey, especially in fantasy basketball, which I just had a draft today, and that went well. In fact, I took Maxey in a couple of my drafts. So, but Maxey, I'm high on. Kelly Oubre, I think he ends up in the starting lineup as well. Played well for them last season, so I see him back in that lineup. And then I think it comes down to two guys, Caleb Martin and Eric Gordon. In fact, I think at this rate right now, you're probably going to see both of those guys in there with Paul George out. So probably both of those guys will be there. Once Paul George goes back, then you got to figure out which guy hits the bench. I say probably Caleb Martin hits the bench. I think they want to have Eric Gordon out there playing. So. And then their bench, I talked about Drummond, Reggie Jackson, they brought him in. Also, the ageless Kyle Lowry. He'll be there as well. And then the French kid who played well in the Olympics, they have him as well. So they have a little bit of bench, but of course the question for them is about Paul George's hyperextended knee, which I kind of alluded to, and then Embiid's ever so bothersome knees as well. I talked about him losing the weight, but I think these are two things that kind of hangs in the back of your mind if you're a fan of this team. And then who will win the fifth starting spot? I talked about that already between Caleb Martin and Eric Gordon. I think right now they're going to use both because of the situation with Paul George. So, but I think once George gets back, it'll be Martin going to the bench. So that's the Philly story, guys. Toronto Raptors is a young team on the come up, it seems. You have your potential starters, Scotty Barnes. I think you need a Scotty Barnes healthy for the season. He missed around March until the end of the season. So Scotty Barnes showed you promise last year, making the All-Star team. Emmanuel Quickley, I'm absolutely high on this year. I think this is the year where, well, I'll talk about postseason awards probably in the next episode. But Emmanuel Quickley, I think, will have a solid year for them. RJ Barrett, already starting out with injuries, RJ is. So we'll see what happens there. But I think RJ Barrett, he played well after he came over in the trade. So I think he'll be fine. Grady Dick, their young guard there, he looked like he's going to be in the starting lineup. I'll be interested to see how he makes out in this lineup. They did replace him with Gary Trent Jr., who went on to Milwaukee. I'll talk about him later. But Grady Dick is somebody I keep an eye on. And Jakob Poeltl, their center, who can give you a double-double at the drop of a dime. So you have him there as well. Their bench, Davion Mitchell, who they got from the Sacramento Kings in the trade. He's a guy who can spell you, give you quality minutes at the point guard position. Excellent defender, so you have him there. Ochi Agbaji, someone they got via trade as well. A young guard there, he can swing to a small forward also. Bruce Brown, who's a Swiss Army knife. He can do a little bit of everything there. He's coming off your bench. Kelly Olynyk, a Canadian himself, he's there. And then Jacoby Walter, one of their rookies. I'd be interested to see how they work him into the lineup. Chris Boucher, he's still there as well. And Jonathan Mogbo, another rookie as well. The question for them is, can Coach Darko Rajakovic coach up this budding team? I think that will play an important part for them. Do they take a step forward? We'll see. And then how soon will RJ Barrett, with his shoulder issues, get back to the lineup? As of this last reading, I was actually trying to look up and see as far as the progress on his shoulder. I know they're saying there was chances of him playing in that first game. Right now, as it stands, it looks like he did practice, guys. So right now his status is TBD, to be determined. So definitely that's a situation that bears some watching in that regard. But the GM over there, Masai Ujiri, has accumulated lots of young talent here. So could they be a team on the come up? we'll see. They're in a tough division. That's the only thing, guys. So, you know, they're going to get whipped upon by those top three teams. So, we'll see. So, my order of finish, guys. I'll say Boston. I'll give them their due. Boston, number one, followed by the Knicks, followed by the Sixers, followed by Toronto, and then the Nets kind of bringing up the rear in that division. All right, let's move on to the Central. Chicago Bulls. Right now, I'm looking at their starting lineup. Zach LaVine, you need him back. You need him healthy. So you definitely need him. And then, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Nikola Vucevic, of course, their center there, manning the middle. Josh Giddey, who they got in the Alex Caruso trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'll be interested to see the role he plays in this starting lineup. Patrick Williams, who they gave the big money to when they gave him his rookie extension. So he's in the starting lineup. And also Coby White, who has a fine season there. He was a candidate for most improved player. So he'll be there. He'll probably be in that backcourt. I see probably Zach LaVine being at that small forward position. This way you're giving space for a Coby White. So that's your starting lineup, guys. From your bench, Lonzo Ball, who made his first appearance in preseason, guys. So there's somebody that they're going to be cautious with him as well. Much the likes of a Porzingis or Mitchell Robinson, they're going to be very cautious with him. Remember, he hasn't played regular season basketball in 2.5 seasons, guys. So keep that in mind. Oyo Dosunmu, their guard there. He's a combo guard. He can play either position there. Now, this is a guy I want that you need to keep an eye on. Matas Bazelis. Now, he's their rookie, guys. And he's a forward. I think, given Patrick Williams' history, as far as injuries go, I would keep an eye on this rookie here, man. I think he can seep his way into the lineup. He's a guy who can kind of do everything. So I definitely would keep a bit of an eye on him. Jalen Smith, who you got via free agency from the Indiana Pacers. Talen Horton-Tucker. He's a guy there who can play multiple positions. And Chris Duarte, who's kind of bounced around, guys, coming from Sacramento. He's now with the Chicago Bulls. Question is, what's the future holds for Zach LaVine and Nikolai Vucevic? You know, guys, they'll probably be on the move, possibly. They've been trying to offload Zach LaVine and that contract of his, so are there any takers out there? We'll see, but I'll be interested to see. First of all, you have to have him healthy out there first for him to draw some interest anyway, so there's that. And then Nikola Vucevic, I know some teams that could use him, so what will you want in return? That's always the pressing question. And then, second question, how much will Ball contribute after missing those 2.5 seasons, like I said? And basically, I think it's a matter of you bring him along slow. You bring him along slow and see what you have in him, and then you take it from there. So there's that. The Cleveland Cavaliers, I think their potential lineup, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and Matt Strus. But the thing is, guys, you have three of those guys who missed about 25 games or more. So Cleveland just needs guys healthy. That's the important thing. And then on your bench, Isaac Okoro, you have him. Caris LeVert, who's their sixth man who kind of fills in when guys are down. Georges Nagding, you have him as well. Dean Wade, and then you got your rookie Jalen Tyson as well. And right now, of course, you know, there's questions about the health, again, of some of those guys. Darius Garland, who had a rough year with injuries, whether it was the hamstring, whether it was with the neck, then he had the fractured jaw. So you definitely need a healthy campaign from him. And then remember, too, guys, all the money that their top four guys are making, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jarrett Allen, and Evan Mobley. All those guys are making nearly $400 million off of all their contracts. Wow. Good gracious. Yeah, so a lot of money there. And then the question is, will help be on their side this season? I mean, how can it not? I mean, really, you know, you masked all these injuries here, so you need a healthy campaign. And then how will Kenny Atkinson fare in his second time as head coach? Because, you know, they replaced J.B. Bickerstaff with Atkinson. So Atkinson, he's a guy who, when he had limited talent, he was able to squeeze a lot out of them. So he has a talented lineup here. So I will definitely keep an eye on how they start out the gate. I think it'll be very important for the Cavaliers. The Detroit Pistons, their starting lineup, it will be Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, who I like what I've seen of him in preseason, Jalen Duren, also Osar Thompson, and Tobias Harris, who came over as a free agent from the Sixers. And then on your bench, guys like Isaiah Stewart, Malik Beasley. You also have Simone Fontecchio. You have him there as well. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. Also, yeah. The question is, now with J.B. Bickerstaff as your coach, can we see an improvement in the standings for the Detroit Pistons? I say why not? You know, J.B. Bickerstaff, I mean, he got a bum rap on the way out for the Cavaliers, but I don't think he was the problem. I think it was injuries. He just had too many injuries there, and then once he got guys back, he had to work them back into the system and so forth. So I think he took a hit on that. So I think he'll be able to coach up this young team. I think so. And I think you could see an improvement in the standings. Will they make it up to the likes of the top three in that division? I don't see that, but I could see some improvement. So we'll see. The Indiana Pacers, who had a fine season last season, their potential lineup, Tyrese Haliburton, of course, Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, Aaron Nesmith, and Andrew Nembhard in your starting lineup. Your bench, one of the best backup point guards in the league, TJ McConnell. Ben Mathurin, you'll get him back healthy now. He's a spark plug off the bench. Obi Toppin, who's been a nice addition for that team. Isaiah Jackson, you're big over there. And then Ben Shepherd as well. Question for them, can they build on their successful playoff run from last season? I don't see why not. You'll have Siakam for a full training camp there. So you'll definitely have that going for you. And then who will win the starting small forward job? I think still it'll probably be Nembhard. Probably Nembhard will be your small forward, more likely than not. So Ben Mafferin, I think they'll continue to use him off the bench, kind of that spark plug coming off the bench, given he gives you a lot of scoring guys. So I think he'll be a bench player for the moment. And then the Milwaukee Bucks, of course, your starting lineup, Giannis Antetokounmpo, also Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, although he's going to miss the first game, guys. Brook Lopez, Gary Trent Jr. Coming off your bench will be Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, also Taurean Prince, DeLon Wright as well. So right now, I guess your replacement in the lineup, it could be Taurean Prince, could be Connaughton, could be him as well. So we'll see. Question, how much of a hot seat is Coach Doc Rivers on? I think his seat is very hot, guys. Very hot. I think how they start the season will be of, there'll be something I'll be keeping an eye on. Let me put it that way. And then how much does Middleton have left in the tank? That's a very big question. And one that I don't think we're going to know in the beginning, but as the season progresses, I think we'll get a handle on how much he got. So with that said, the finish, I think for Doc Rivers' sake, it better be Milwaukee finishing first in this division, followed by Indiana, Cleveland, probably Detroit, and then Chicago. But I would say keep an eye on Cleveland, guys. Keep an eye on them because, to me, I actually think they have the more, I don't want to say that because Rick Carlisle is one heck of a coach. So I'll just leave it be. It'll be, yeah, that's the order. Milwaukee, Indiana, Cleveland, Detroit, and then Chicago. All right, and then we'll do the South, and then I'll give you my playoff teams. The Atlanta Hawks, your starters there, Trae Young, Clint Capella for the moment, Jalen Johnson, who had a fine season till injuries kind of wrecked it towards the end, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and then the rookie they got, the first pick in the draft, Zachary Richarder. And that's your starting lineup there. And then off the bench, DeAndre Hunter, Onika Okongwu, also Larry Nance Jr., David Roddy, and Dyson Daniels. Both Nance and Daniels came in the trade for DeJounte Murray. Question is, could Trae Young be on the trading block? Very possible. Depends on how this team does as the season goes on. Right now, I'll do that when I tell you my finish. But, yeah, it's very possible, guys. And then, is this the year that Okongwu overtakes Capella? You know, they said that last year, and it didn't happen. They're hoping this year, but Capella's still there. Until I see Capella on the move, I think they're going to go Capella first and then Okongwu before they totally turn the keys over. But, you know, that's something we'll keep an eye on as well. The Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets right now, their starting lineup, LaMelo Ball. I think it's of supreme importance for him to at least finish out the season. At least 65 games, maybe 70. It would be great. Miles Bridges, also Brandon Miller, their rookie from last year, who's I think he'll take a leap forward. Josh Green, they're talking about him making the lineup. And then Mark Williams, you need him, of course, healthy and ready to go at center. On your bench, Nick Richards, who filled in admirably for Williams. Also, you have Trey Mann there. Who you got from OKC. Grant Williams. Also, Vasily Micic, who you also got in that trade coming from OKC. And keep an eye on this kid, this rookie, TJ Salon. Their rookie there, I would keep an eye on him. He's a forward. I think he's somebody where he could squeeze into a starting lineup as the season progresses. We'll see. The question is, Mark Williams, will he be ready for the start of a season? Now, he's another player who's had injury issues. He missed a lot of last season, guys. So, right now, the word on the street in regard to him, right now, as of a few weeks ago, he was out of the walking boot. So, they said they'll reevaluate him ahead of the regular season. So we should hear something concrete within a day or so in regard to him. But we'll see what happens there. And then the other question, can LaMelo make it through the season unscathed? Again, I say you need at least 68 to 72 games out of LaMelo Ball. That's how talented this kid and a difference maker he is. They have to have that, guys. Otherwise, the season is a total loss for them. The Miami Heat, their potential starting lineup, Jimmy Butler, of course, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero as well, Terry Rozier. And it looks like they're giving the young forward a shot here, Nikolai Jovic. So they're giving him the shot over Jaime Jaquez. So then speaking of bench, Jaquez is coming off your bench. And then Josh Richardson, Alec Burks, who came over as a free agent from the Knicks. Kevin Love is still hanging on, guys. Duncan Robinson, he's still there. And Haywood Highsmith. The question is, can Butler squeeze out 70 games for the Miami Heat? Guys, the last time he squeezed out over 70 games was in the 2016-17 season. And that's when he was in Chicago, guys. So that is a huge question. And that's where the fortunes of the Heat lie, unfortunately. What Jimmy Butler can give them. And then what will Tyler Hero's health look like for the season? He's another one. He missed half of the season, guys. He missed 40 games, for crying out loud. So, you know, they're paying him a good ton of money, guys. So they've been trying to move him, but haven't had takers. So, we'll see what happens with Hero, but they need him as well. In fact, and they had a statistic for this. All the minutes that those three play together, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero was 592 minutes. And then after the Rozier trade, only 118 minutes they played. So not a lot of time on the floor, guys. So that's going to be of big importance in with that squad. The Orlando Magic, team that played very well last year, guys. The fifth seed, your starting lineup, Paolo Banchero, who had a fantastic season, ended up being an all-star. Jalen Suggs, who's turned his game around playing well. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who they got from the Denver Nuggets. Franz Wagner, an important piece for this team, guys. He got the rookie extension, the rookie pretty much rookie max. And then Wendell Carter Jr., who you definitely need to play a lot. He missed 27 games last year, guys. And then on your bench, Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony is a guy who plays well, gives you that change of pace coming off your bench, kind of like a Deuce McBride for the Knicks. Jonathan Isaac, who's come all the way back from his injuries, guys. He's coming off your bench to monitoring his minutes, but he has been solid when he plays. Franz's brother, Mo Wagner, he comes off the bench as well. Gary Harris, Anthony Black, who you got via the trade, not the trade, but the draft last year, you have him on your bench as well. And then the question is, what can this up-and-coming group do as an encore? Can they remain amongst the top six in that conference? I don't see why not. And you actually added to the mix when you got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a guy who you need, a 3-and-D guy. So I don't see why they can't continue to ascend. And then can they get good, consistent play from Wendell Carter? I think he holds the key, guys. I was thinking, too, in free agency, maybe them getting the likes of Isaiah Hartenstein. How much that would have boosted their lineup and really had them on an upward trajectory. But they're rolling the dice with Carter. Carter is talented, guys. It's just the injuries. But if they could keep him on the floor for a good amount of time, I think they could be a threat. And then the Washington Wizards, their potential starting lineup. Jordan Poole now, who they now made him the starting point guard for that team. So it'll be interesting to see. He'll have the ball in his hands a lot. So expect a lot of turnovers, a lot of getting used to the position for him. Kyle Kuzma, he's still there. Jonas Valanciunas, who you got from the Pelicans in free agency. And then Bilal Coulibaly, a young player for them. And Alex Saar, their rookie. I think he ends up in the starting lineup at the power forward position for them. Off your bench, Malcolm Brogdon, who's injured right now. We'll see when he comes back. Also, Rashard Holmes, your backup big. Corey Kispert as well. He's there. Johnny Davis as well. Question is, how will Poole fare as the team's full-time point guard? That is a big-time question. Can he fill that position for this team? And then, how will a Kuzma, Saar, and Valanciunas front court look like? I think it could be pretty decent. You got Kuzma there who can light it up with anyone. Alex Saar, I think he'll be able to defend inside some of the things that Valanciunas can't do, like the blocking of shots, defending the paint. I think Saar can give you that. And then Valanciunas, you just need a double-double from him. So, but all rest on the point guard play of Jordan Poole, I think. Order of finish. I think if you have a healthy Jimmy Butler, Miami will be the top team. If you have a Butler that's giving you under 60 games, then I think Orlando can take this division, guys. That's how good they are and how much trust I have in Jamal Mosley running that show. And then third, kind of wrestle with this, but the Charlotte Hornets, I think if LaMelo Ball is healthy, I think they're on paper, they're a much better team than the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm putting them as third. And possibly a team that can maybe push for a playoff spot. Again, if LaMelo Ball is healthy. Then Atlanta, then Washington is my pick. the playoff teams, I got Boston, I got New York, I got Philly, Milwaukee, Indiana, Cleveland, Miami, and Orlando. So I think it pretty much looks much like it did last year. The only surprise team, again, I think could probably squeeze into the conversation would be could be Charlotte. I think Charlotte, if Ball is healthy, everything rests on Ball, guys. If he's healthy, I think they could push a team out of the spot. But I think it'll be pretty much the same teams that you saw last year with Charlotte as an outside chance. So, all right, guys. So that is it for the Eastern Conference. When I come back to you, the West. Got to give you the wild, wild West, man. And it's wild out there. So, all right. With that said, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. You can go there. You can find me there. Episodes, videos, all of that. Email lists. I'm about to work on that and get that going, especially for the season. And then also support the show, guys. I'm giving you this awesome content. Support me. I got my support buttons there. Spotify donate button is there. My buy me a coffee is there. My PayPal button there. You can donate that way. And Cash App. Cash App is $GD that sports dude. Again, $GD that sports dude. And again, I heard Cash App is kind of messing up a bit, but we give it a shot. So, and I'm on all the podcast platforms. Of course, Apple, you can leave reviews there. 5-star reviews, 5 stars, guys, 5 stars. I appreciate that. And then on YouTube, I have my YouTube channel, All Things Basketball GD. Of course, like the videos there, comment if you like. Socials, I'm there. TikTok is where my shorts are done. IG is where I'm heavy. X, I don't mess with. LinkedIn, I put my videos on LinkedIn also, guys. And then Facebook, I'm here and there on it. I may get back into it with the season getting underway. So with that said, I thank you guys for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.